of course, Gwin Oak Amusement Park was the largest amusement park in this region, in this area. And so, unlike the other places of public accommodation, the restaurants and the theaters that were plentiful, and of course, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, we wanted to integrate those places as well. We wanted to have equal access. But Gwin Oak Park, because of its size, because of the number of organizations and churches and community groups that utilize the services of Gwin Oak Park, we thought that was a comprehensive and a wise choice of targeting with regard to focusing on equal access and integration. So again, the sheer size of it, it was one of a kind, is in essence is what I'm trying to say.
It was, the first demonstrations were when? It was not in 1963, it was before that, right?
I understand that they were in the late 50s, 1950s. However, I was not a part of that at that point. Keep in mind that I entered Morgan College in February of 1960. And as a consequence, my first knowledge of Gwin Oak Park didn't occur until around 1961, 62, as we progressed in the civil rights movement with our sit-in demonstrations and freedom rides throughout the country, and of course in the state of Maryland, with the freedom rides on the eastern shore of Maryland, southern Maryland, and what have you. And of course, Baltimore City was a battleground in terms of the big businesses that refused to allow you the privilege of sitting down and eating in a place of public accommodation.
The big department stores.
Or going to the movies, the Heck yeah. May Company, the yeah. Heck Company. I remember very graphically as a student going to the Heck Company's rooftop restaurant at the Northwood Shopping Center and having a waitress pull the tables out from under us and say, "We don't serve niggers," you know, and we said, "Well, we don't eat them either." You know, that was our rejoinder, but it was open, it was naked, it was insulting, it was abusive, and at that time, of course, they would read a trespass law before arresting you here. That was the procedure here, and that was negotiated in part by the Baltimore City chapter of the NAACP. So we had to read the trespass order to leave the premises prior to being arrested.
Now, take me to 61, 62, and 63, the demonstrations at Gwin Oak. What was that like?
Well, you had a situation, and what stands out in my mind is you may know John Romer III, you may or may not, but John Romer was a white man, a young man who was, at one point, he was the vice chairman of the Congress of Racial Equality in Baltimore City under Walter Carter. Walter Carter was the chairperson and the father, by the way, of Delegate Jill Carter. Mm-hmm. And John Romer spearheaded the actions at on behalf of the Congress of Racial Equality at the Gwin Oak Amusement Park, and he was a battering ram. I don't see how he could absorb the beatings that he took. They called him a white nigger. They called him all kinds of names, but he would lead groups of blacks and whites into the park, and when he was rebuffed, he'd come back a half an hour later and try to get in, and as a consequence, he suffered a lot of physical abuse, a lot of beatings. I would enter the park, and when I was rebuffed, I would lead the picket line and perform the task that I was assigned to perform, which was that of the public relations director for the Congress of Racial Equality and Civic Interest Group.
And what did that involve? I mean, were you on? Were you talking to all the public
relations? All the news media. I was the mouthpiece of the Civic Interest Group under Clarence Logan, who's the chairperson, Clarence Skip Logan, and the Congress of Racial Equality under Walter P. Carter. And I enjoyed talking to the media, as I love to talk. And I was talking to the television stations and radio stations, interpreting why we were there, why we felt it necessary to stay on the battlefield, as it were, and pursue our goal of integration until victory was won.
And the biggest battle it seems, came around the 4th of July in 1963. Tell me about that.
Well, we had a lot of people arrested. Many, many people were arrested in July and others. We had, if I remember correctly, and remember now, this is 1971, but I believe we had upwards of 100 or more arrested, and then within weeks thereafter, we had 400 arrested in 63. 63 was a time when the Baltimore County Police Department and, as I recall, the county executive for Baltimore County.
Spiro Agnew,
who later became he became vice president of the United States, and we always called him the racist county executive of Baltimore County. But be that as it may, he would go along to get along with the management and the owners of Gwin Oak Amusement Park and say they have a right to keep you out under existing law. We argued we had a moral right to fight the good fight in keeping with the Constitution of the United States and our right to utilize the First Amendment of the United States, which focus on the right of peaceful assembly and protest, to continue our demonstrations until we won our point. And our point was that of we should be accepted as any other citizen, irrespective of race, creed, or color. So 63 was a bellwether year in terms of massive arrests at the park. And what normally happened was that we were released on our own recognizance.
How long?